The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And a pleasant good morning, 8 a.m. Central Time, Monday, May 22nd, 2023. And of course, you know, earlier we were talking about, you know, New York City. See, the thing is, California, they're all leaving. I think people are finally waking up and going, you know what? Things in this state are not going to change, depending on where you are. A lot of people, you know, I've read reports about how New Jersey is such a great place to retire. I'm like, okay, you got high taxes, high government regulations. You got a little rundown shack, and the taxes are over $10,000 a year. How does that work? And you wonder why people are leaving New Jersey as well. And it's not Hurricane Sandy. You know, it's not all of that that's driving people out. It's that, you know, these regulations and all of the junk that's going on, the woke policies. Nobody wants to have their gas stove and their air conditioner and everything else. I mean, they've got a comfortable lifestyle they've worked hard for. Nobody wants that taken away by some government bureaucrat that's got their head up where the sun never shines. You know, while their problem is obvious, people are waking up and going, you know what? I don't need to live in this state anymore, honey. Come on, let's pack your bags. We're getting out of here. Let somebody else buy our house, and we'll take that money and go somewhere else and live a better life. You know, that's what's happening. That's why people are moving to Florida. They're moving to Texas. They're moving to Tennessee. They're moving to places that don't have state income tax. You know, they don't want to, and half of these people too, you know, when you're looking at states to move to, if this is the case and you're trying to reposition yourself financially, you want to look at states that don't beat up your Social Security tax, you know, or they don't have one. They'll, you know, Florida is one of those states that's clean across the board. They're not going to touch your Social Security. They don't have a state income tax. And the thing is that the feds, it's really funny. You volunteer into a program, they get to keep your money till you're ready to retire. This is why Dr. Gary North called this thing one of the biggest Ponzi schemes in the history of the United States government. And see, you get a Social Security number and you volunteer in for this. Nobody twists your arm to get a Social Security number. You are brainwashed into volunteering in. It is entirely voluntary system, and nobody wants to admit it, that they made a mistake. And, of course, all the parents that got brainwashed into believing this way, thinking that this was good for America because we get to volunteer to give some of our paycheck back to the government. I mean, how much of our paycheck do we actually have to give back to the government before we cry uncle? We can't survive. This is why when you start up your own LLC, I have discovered, by doing that, you get to keep all your money up front and give very little of it to the government in advance unless you have payroll. Then you submit quarterly payroll. But, you know, here's the thing. You get to keep a majority of your money and spend it the way you see fit. But how many people even want to do that? Oh, I can't be too old for this. No, you're not. I mean, heck, if we got a 90-year-old lady, for her birthday, she wanted to go ride a Harley Davidson again. She wanted to get on a hog, baby. She wanted to get her legs around that big vibrating seat and just go, go, go. 90 years old, and she wants to ride a motorcycle. And so, of course, all the motorcycle club that she knew of, they decided to indulge her for her 90th birthday. What a wonderful story that is. See, the thing is, people, you know, you're never too old. We've got people in their 90s graduating from college. That, you know, I mean, it's a goal. Some people just learned by hard knocks. Some people decided in their late 80s to start up a business all on their own. You can do that in America. It's still there. Mom and pop businesses, you need to come back. You need to grow a pair and come back. It's not a big deal. I know they went out during COVID because everybody bought into the garbage. They all got scared. They all decided, see, once you've been played by the government, then they come out and they say there's mad cow. See, now everybody's going to turn around because they say there's mad cow disease. And they're going to go, okay, we're not falling for that. This is all this is another scam to kill off as many cattle as possible so we can't eat meat. That's what this is all about. See, you start thinking suspicious about every little thing, whether it's true or not. That air of suspicion kicks in because now we're in a situation where we can't trust the government because, just like Mike from Indiana called in earlier and says, hey, they lied. They lied. All these people he knows are all of a sudden just getting blood clots and dropping dead because they believed what the government told them. They didn't have a conscience of their own. They didn't believe in God, that God could save them. A lot of us out there that are God-fearing individuals understand the principles of why we did not take the shot. I don't care if our name is on a list. Doesn't matter, really. You see, because all these people that did take the jab, a lot of them probably were in the United States government. Wonder how many IRS agents, especially the 87,000 that they claim that they're going to hire. Wonder how many of them took the shot. Yeah, wonder how many current employees, how many postal workers. Think of all the government employees, that 90% of which believe everything their government tells them. Think about that. How's that going to work? How's it going to work when they die, when they start having medical problems? How's that going to work? They can't survive. They're going to have medical problems. They can't go to work. They can't do their job. They can't get a paycheck. They got to go on disability or they die. Yeah. They believe everything the government tells them. They went out and got a jab. How do they know? Well, maybe they didn't get the jab. Maybe they got saline. We don't know. Maybe they got a placebo. We don't know. You can only tell if you go to howbadismybatch.com and input the number. Howbadismybatch.com. We have a former California Teacher of the Year has been accused of having sex with a teenage student, a 16-year-old in Yucaipa, California. 38-year-old Tracy Vanderhulst is a math teacher at Yucaipa High School, is now facing charges of statutory rape, according to the New York Post. And a sanctuary county here. Now, see, this is what you get to look forward to. Montgomery County, Maryland. An illegal alien is accused of raping a 15-year-old girl and a woman in two separate instances in the sanctuary county of Montgomery County, Maryland. Jose Roberto Hernandez Espinal, a 20-year-old illegal alien from El Salvador, been arrested and charged with first-degree rape, first-degree assault, second-degree assault, armed robbery, kidnapping, for allegedly raping a teenage girl and a woman at a hiking trail this month. Gee, sounds like Chandra Levy, doesn't it? How's that work? Well, you let them in the country, this is what they do. Yeah. I mean, he did it once. He did a 15-year-old girl. Yeah. Then he did a woman. They get emboldened. Shows up with a machete. Threatens him with a machete. And takes him out, robs him. Rapes him. And then, you know, what's going to happen? Is the sanctuary county going to let him out so he can go do it again? I mean, this is why we have the crime we do. Well, if you're not screaming bloody murder at the prosecutors in Montgomery County, Maryland, to keep this guy behind bars, I guess you're not doing your job. You as a citizen have to protect yourself, which is wondering. I'm just wondering if the woman who was confronted with this man, this Espinal character, why, if he came at her with a machete, she didn't pull a gun out and put him to rest. Oh, because they're afraid they're going to get arrested. Well, you know, whether you have a duty to retreat, if the guy's got a machete and he's swinging it at you, I think that's pretty clear cut that, you know, running is not going to help because he's probably going to catch up with you and cut your damn head off. So you have a right to turn around and defend yourself. It's the Second Amendment I forgot. Our government doesn't want you to pay any attention to the Second Amendment. Oh, hold on. Got to put my Second Amendment hat on here. 1791, 20 state attorneys general have opposed a Mexican lawsuit against the gun industry. Montana Attorney General Austin Knutson is leading a coalition of 20 states' attorneys general to defend the Second Amendment and the U.S. firearms industry against a lawsuit by the Mexican government seeking to hold the gun makers liable for gun crime south of the U.S. border. Well, sorry, that's not our problem. They want $10 billion, and they filed a lawsuit against several major U.S. arms firearms manufacturers. These companies are responsible for the violence in their country. No, they're not. These people are fools. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, by the way, oh, he's done it again. He signed legislation containing a red flag law and universal background checks, both of already which are in place in California, haven't stopped mass shootings. He says, I understand our rights as Americans, but I refuse to allow extremists to define what responsible gun ownership looks like and to make this about the Second Amendment. Well, sorry, Tim. It is about the Second Amendment. Tim, you're a commie pig. You're one of those people they should have given a civil service exam to and asked them all about the Constitution, especially the Second Amendment. Mr. Walz, I don't consider you a governor, not my governor. I have a real problem with you and the way you behave. I have a real problem with you signing legislation. What part of the Second Amendment shall not be infringed? What part of that don't you get? Of course not. You know, you think you're doing the voters a favor? One of these days, Mr. Walz, you may be confronted by an illegal alien with a gun and you have no protection. Oh, or do you? Do you actually have protection? Huh. I wish your mama would have used protection. In the economy section, Biden says he's got the authority to invoke the 14th Amendment. Well, we just heard about that. No, he really doesn't. Stanford law professor Michael McConnell called it dangerous nonsense. Yeah, you got all these liberal constitutional scholars. They're condemning the idea the president has unilateral power to borrow. Yeah. Section 4.
Right?
Yeah, this is what he's relying on. Joe just talked about that. The validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned. Well, huh. If this is what he's going to rely on, we need to do something about that. Besides the brazen abuse of authority it would represent, the politics could backfire badly on the administration, according to Ezra Klein. If testing the question of the 14th Amendment wouldn't cost anything, there'd be no harm in trying, but I don't think it would have no cost. The strength of the Biden administration's political position is that it stands for normalcy. We know that's not right. Debt ceiling has always been raised before. It must be raised now. Why don't they just, you know, why don't they just go out and just remove the debt ceiling, borrow to the hilt, just borrow whatever you want. Why don't they do that? Just borrow whatever you want because it's worthless anyway. It's all fiat currency anyway. What is it worth? See, it's worth what we, the people, say it's worth. Because anything that's printed up there is based on the full faith and credit of the United States government and what happens when the United States government is in bankruptcy. Yeah, back in 1933, that happened. Yep. The Depression taught a lot of our parents a lot of interesting things. Like our country is very bad at setting examples for others to follow. So the United States government is so deep in debt, and supposedly that's placed on the backs of we the people, which is one of the reasons why I tell people, look, why aren't you starting your own business so you don't have to pay anything? You literally can save and keep more of your money if you would just start a business. You don't have to spend gobs of money to start a business. I have found that as an LLC, you get 75 potential write-offs. If you're a full corporation, I have found that you get over 350 potential write-offs. What, you don't have time? Really? You know, you can draw Social Security and still run a business. I have found that out as well. But you should know the Supreme Court has ruled unanimously in a delinquent taxpayer case that it's lawful for the IRS to secretly obtain the bank records of third parties when collecting on taxes owed. In other words, the nation's highest court recognized that the IRS isn't required to notify third parties who aren't under investigation when seeking a summons for banking records thought to be relevant to the tax delinquency of another person. One lawyer who briefed the Supreme Court said the new ruling gives the IRS startlingly broad authority to pry into the financial records of people who may only be remotely connected to a delinquent taxpayer. Wow, you shall know them by their fruits, so I guess you have to be careful who you get into bed with, right? Yeah, I know this for sure, because Treasury has FinCEN. FinCEN, do you know what FinCEN is? Anybody ever heard of that? F-I-N-C-E-N? It's the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, and believe you me, if you've watched Enemy of the State, that movie with Will Smith and Gene Hackman, Jack Black's in it, yeah, there's a lot of different, Jamie Kennedy's in it, there's a lot of different people in it, big stars. And when you get into that thing and you start realizing what FinCEN is, I mean, these people literally get on a computer, they open up your bank records, they can see every single thing, whether you know it or not, and they're not required to notify you. Every single thing, they can look into your bank account, they can find out, they can look at your credit report without you knowing about it, they can find out how much you are leveraged. This is why people have used my credit restoration primer to completely delete their entire credit file. So there's nothing there to look at. It's like they disappeared. You can't disappear. They're going to find you. You got a cell phone? They're going to find you. I don't care if it's a flip phone. They're still going to find you. It's pinging a tower, for God's sakes. There's a lot of people out there who just want to disappear. You literally have to disconnect from the entire grid. You have to disconnect from everything. You have to be on a piece of property put into a trust so nobody knows, and it can't be your name trust. Could be an address trust, like the 123 Main Street Trust. Nobody knows who it is unless you file an affidavit of trust, which most attorneys usually suggest that you do. And you have to live totally off grid, which means you got to have solar, you got to have a well, everything's got to be totally, if you got a hand pump on a well. I mean, you have to be totally off grid and away from everybody else. In order for them not to have bank, you can't have a bank account. How are you going to exist? I have people out there that I know that actually work for gold and silver and cash. They don't have Social Security numbers. They don't file tax returns. See, some of us can't be that lucky. We're not that fortunate. And then you got 500,000 people leaving New York City because they can't stand what's going on. Bud Light's ready to buy back unsold cases of expired beer that sat on shelves as consumers are revolting over partnership with Dylan Mulvaney. Sales are continuing to dip. I guess we sent a message there, huh? Mulvaney, of course, 26, posted himself, herself drinking Bud Light at the start of April 2023 using the hashtag Bud Light Partner, posting the content to coincide with the NCAA March Madness tournament. Before joking, she didn't know what sport she was promoting. Oh, my gosh. Yep, that disastrous marketing bid has seen sales for the American flagship beer plummet 26%. Yep. Conservatives everywhere. I mean, look at Bud Light's not the only beer that Anheuser-Busch makes. They make Budweiser and a whole bunch of others. See, if you boycott all those beers, you know, who's going to feed the Clydesdales? I know. Wow. Under science and technology, come 2050, they may have cyborg soldiers out there. Human-machine fusion. Yeah, the future of the DOD. That's right. They're all trying to get cyborg soldiers out there. Wow. Nancy, we the people got to stop this. I know many of you listeners that are listening to the show probably aren't going to be around in 2050, but understand something else. Even though time is short in many of your lives, your kids and future generations, you owe it to them to make sure that this crap doesn't happen, this transhuman machine fusion. You got to stop it. Elon Musk is demanding a retraction of an article alleging stolen election claims thrived unchecked on Twitter. He's objected to this article by the Associated Press alleging that false claims of a stolen election thrive unchecked on Twitter, even though Musk promised that tweets making such claims would be corrected, with the Twitter chief calling on the media outlet to back up its assertion with data or retract the piece. Think they're going to do it? Musk was responding to a question by the interviewer about claims made by Twitter users that the 2020 election was rigged or stolen and whether such claims would end up tagged with a community note or face other actions. Musk, of course, says, "I don't think it was a stolen election," before adding he believes there was some election fraud in 2020. Really? Well, if there's any election fraud, fraud is fraud, right? None of this makes any sense. And then, of course, the lady that he's hired to take his place as CEO, she's apparently woke. You really want to put your faith in Twitter? I would get off that program. Yeah, we can talk about it because the news media is all over it. Half of what you don't want to believe. It's all right. You don't have to. FBI has been improperly using the surveillance program to spy on January 6 suspects, believe it or not. Newly unsealed ruling, according to a federal court, said FBI agents violated the standards the agency developed for the Section 702 program, which enabled spying on Americans and others more than 278,000 times. That's the FISA rulings, folks. FISA rulings, you could say FISA, it's fine, Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. And even if they're in the United States, it bars intentionally targeting Americans, but that is not what happened. In other words, they lied to the FISA court. Did you know that your DNA can now be pulled out of thin air? That's scary. David Duffy, a wildlife geneticist at the University of Florida, just wanted a better way to track disease in sea turtles. Then he started finding human DNA everywhere you looked. Over the last decade, wildlife researchers have redefined techniques for recovering environmental DNA, or eDNA, trace amounts of genetic material that all living things leave behind. A powerful and inexpensive tool for ecologists, eDNA is all over, floating in the air, lingering in the water, the snow, honey, even in your cup of tea. Hey, who'd like a cup of tea? Researchers have used the method to detect invasive species before they take over, to track vulnerable or secretive wildlife populations. Ooh, how much money did that come from the government, huh, to figure that out? eDNA technology, by the way, is also used in wastewater surveillance systems to monitor COVID and other pathogens. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. Water surveillance systems? Wastewater? COVID in the wastewater? Huh. I wonder if they're putting it in our actual water supply. Don't you think that might be a possibility too? That's why you filter your water, folks. Got a new Geoengineering Watch Global Alert news article out, number 406, put out on May 20th. You can go to geoengineeringwatch.org, or you can just click on the link in your email blast, which we have here. We've got a Grow Your Own Grocery Summit. That's coming up as well. Remembering Ronnie Cummins, Organic Consumers Association, who passed away April 26, 2023. RFK Jr. says he was a great guy. They worked side by side for a number of decades, trying to turn the tide against chemical agriculture and forcing more transparency in our food systems. Then, of course, the atypical case of bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or mad cow, has been detected in South Carolina by USDA officials. The disease was found in an approximately five-year-old or older beef cow at a slaughter plant in the Palmetto State. So now what are they going to do? What are they going to do? The cow was from Tennessee. Got shipped over to South Carolina for processing. Oh. Now what do they think they're going to do? Kill off all the cows? Deprive all the people in the area of meat, at least that shipment, right? If you use ibuprofen, there are alternatives because, see, ibuprofen can screw up your system. Don't know if you knew that or not, but you should know that. It's an NSAID. They inhibit proper healing, even though you claim that they actually do help. Yeah, just go take an ibuprofen. Yeah. Oh, my. We have transderma magnesium available. For those of you that have pain and you don't want to take ibuprofen, you just rub it on. Ginger and magnesium, in a double-blind study comparing the efficacy of ibuprofen versus ginger, researchers discovered ginger was as effective as ibuprofen in managing menstruation pain. Yep. Oh, I can just see it now. You know, ginger.
Oh, Gilligan.
Skipper! What is it, little buddy? Yeah. Gilligan's Island just popped right in my head. I don't know why. We have Collagen Power Plus for those of you out there that want to use something other than ibuprofen to combat primary dysmenorrhea. Women know exactly what I'm talking about there. Curcumin also. We have Curcumin X4000 at the Power Mall for those of you who want to take on using an anti-inflammatory, that agent of turmeric. Pain reducer for thousands of years, folks. They use it. Why aren't you? Sports-related injuries works good for that, too. Capsaicin, chemical derived from chili peppers. Depending on the athlete's type of injury can be an effective way to reduce pain. And, of course, we have a story on our email blast about gender transition surgery, dreams being turned into nightmares. This gender-affirming hormone therapy and sex reassignment surgeries are going to be the bane of our existence here. They're never given appropriate informed consent. They have no idea what they're getting themselves into. Many adults even underestimate how difficult and painful it'll be, but see, all the woke ones let their kids do whatever they want. And, of course, we have another article out on this keto diet. Continuing ketosis long-term can lead to problems, according to Dr. Joe Mercola, including stubborn weight gain or the inability to lose unwanted weight. The reason for this has to do with cortisol. Your body needs glucose, and when it's deprived for too long, your body will release cortisol to stimulate the production of glucose by your liver. That's another reason why, you know, we have been selling so much of the sugar to fiber. In COVID news, which we don't get around to too much, advisors to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration have been voicing support for Pfizer's maternal RSV vaccine, even after expressed concerns over premature births. Got to stop that, folks. No more of this. Anything the FDA says, opposite direction. You got it. We're going to try to connect with Ellen Brown here after the bottom of the hour break. In the meantime, we got important messages to deal with here. We will talk about finances after the break. Stay with us.
iComplex CS is a comprehensive natural medicine formula to nourish and heal eye tissue formulated by a board-certified MD ophthalmologist, Dr. Robert Abel. Why you need vitamins for your eyesight? There is a direct and proven physiological connection between the nutrients we put into our body and the quality of our eyesight. Some vitamins for eyesight can be absorbed from the food we eat, but other vital nutrients cannot, especially if you're not eating a daily, nutritionally balanced diet. Additional supplements are essential for optimal eye health as well as your overall physical health. With 23 vitamins and nutrients such as N-acetylcysteine, which is important for removing toxic substances from the liver, this, the most complete clinical strength eye and total body multivitamin available in one supplement. Call the Power Mall at 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, you know, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 8 a.m. Central Time. You gotta love it. We're sitting there faced with this banking crisis called CBDCs. Yep. And we're faced with the fact that we have so much debt, and they're sitting there playing with this debt ceiling. A lot of people are confused about what it actually means. It's like a lot of people are sitting there looking at the 14th Amendment. We're getting calls on that, too, and what Biden wants to do, thinks he can get away with it by executive order. last time I checked, Congress was supposed to do that. So you see, the thing is, we got the Bank of North Dakota out there, which is a very solid situation going on there. The bigger problem we have, though, is now you have Texas is talking about passing and having gold-backed currency. You see, the states need to start coordinating and getting together, but it needs to go down to the community level, and the communities are the only way going to make this work. Nobody's been out there promoting this kind of thing more than Ellen Brown has been. She joins us on the phone here on the Power Hour. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good to have you back on the show again, as always. So you got this big, lengthy book on called Banking on the People, Democratizing Money in the Digital Age. What's so democratic about it?
Well, democratizing meaning, right, we the people, I mean, my whole pitch, of course, is that we the people should own the banks. That's publicly owned banks. We've got one, which you mentioned, North Dakota. The Bank of North Dakota has its own state-owned bank. sorry, North Dakota has its own state-owned bank, the Bank of North Dakota, which acts as a mini Fed for this for the other banks in the state. So it deals with liquidity. It helps with liquidity, helps with capitalization. If the other banks had a run on the, which they haven't had, I mean, they've been quite stable through this whole crisis. But if they had a run on the banks and they needed extra cash to pay the withdrawals, they could turn to the Bank of North Dakota. They could sell some of their loans, or the Bank of North Dakota helps by guaranteeing loans, etc. So it's a quite stable situation there. And of course, the Bank of North Dakota is very profitable. It turns a major portion of its profits back to the state, and it works very well. It partners with the local banks, so they're not feeling like they're being squeezed out by this public bank. They actually endorse the public bank because it helps them.
Right. And the reason we have Ellen on the show, folks, is because she's the founder of the Public Banking Institute and the author of 13 books and hundreds of articles. So that's one of the reasons why she's here. And, you know, we're CBDCs, I think, is the next big thing to try to scare everybody. And this central bank digital currencies, you even wrote about that as well. Brady in Las Vegas, you're on the phone with Ellen Brown. Go.
Yeah, good morning. I see next month in St. Petersburg, there's a whole bunch of countries, excluding the U.S., they're meeting on the gold standard, and behind our backs and everybody in the world, they're going to switch secretly to the gold standard. Also, in September, Texas is going on the gold standard. I can't wait till that happens, because I got a feeling I might be moving to Texas. we're within about 3 months of a complete collapse of the dollar. Everybody that's got anything in the dollar right now, you need to either put it into ammo, gold, silver, land, housing, food, nothing but the dollar. Just get out of it as quick as you can.
Well, I appreciate that, Brady. I'm going to get Ellen's reaction to that, because, Ellen, I'm sure you've heard this as an attorney practicing civil litigation in Los Angeles. I'm sure you've heard this kind of talk from a lot of people in a lot of our sector. Is that right?
Yes. And, I mean, I'm not a big endorser of the big banks, of course, but I think all that is overblown. I mean, the dollar is not going to collapse because it's too invested around the world. I mean, the dollar is the reserve currency, whether even Americans don't like it and foreigners don't like it, but that's just the way it is. It's built up over the last 75 years. And there's this whole euro dollar market out there that's not really euros. It's dollars, U.S. dollars, but they don't have dollars. They do like all banks do, which is just create money on their books. They create it as liabilities on one side of their books and as assets on the other side of their books. But then they have the problem of withdrawals. Because they don't have the Federal Reserve, they have to scramble to get dollars. So there's always a big demand for dollars. It's true that other countries are dumping their treasuries, and they are attempting to develop their own system. The Eurasian Economic Union is working on that, and no doubt they'll succeed one of these days, but they don't have it set up yet, and it's certainly not in the next 3 months. So I wouldn't actually worry about the dollar itself. Of course, it's good to have silver, gold, all those land. You know, if you can get it, that's great. But anyway, I don't think the system is that close to collapsing.
Okay, that's based on your take so far.
Yeah, that's my take. And the central bank digital currency, the Federal Reserve is actually opposed, or Jerome Powell anyway, is opposed to a central bank digital currency used as a retail currency. What they're looking into is the wholesale possibility, where there'll be, it's something that banks use among themselves, and it is apparently more efficient, and they would use it with foreign banks and foreign central banks, but not. I mean, they're resisting having personal accounts with the Federal Reserve. And the reason is that would pull all the money out of the private banks. And, of course, the Fed is there to protect the private banks and to make sure that they they still have liquidity, that they still have the deposits that they need to back their loans. So anyway, I think there is quite a bit of rumor out there that is frightening people. I mean, there's certainly things to be frightened of. I'm frightened of this whole debt situation. How close are we going to get to the wire? They might actually default, or although I guess it's called a technical default. They will pay the debt. I mean, under the 14th Amendment, you mentioned the 14th Amendment, which says that Congress will pay its debts as and when due. So you can argue that certainly the debts that have already been negotiated for, like Social Security, would have to be paid. Now, this new budget, those aren't debts that have been passed yet, and that's the thing that's under negotiation. If the budget's never passed, then it's not a debt that the government is required to pay.
Huh. Well, then, see, the thing is that they're scaring everybody with the idea that veterans benefits and all this other stuff is going to go away and that Social Security won't be paid next month. I mean, this is what they're scaring people with. If we don't pass the debt ceiling, people won't get their Social Security payments next month, or could not. A possibility exists. And, I mean, this is Janet Yellen saying stuff like this, and she's got no business saying stuff like that unless they know something about the Social Security Administration, the Social Security Fund that Congress has been raping for years because of its carte blanche behavior, spending money like a sailor in a whorehouse. This is the thing that gets me. You know, the money should be there, but I keep hearing from Congress people. The last congressman I heard up close and personal was Greg Stube in Florida. And he was sitting there at a luncheon that I attended, and he was sitting there telling us that we're only going to have by 2025 or 2026, Social Security is going to be bankrupt. And I'm like, this is not what people want to hear. This is not what the government promised. They promised that if we volunteered into their system, that we would be taken care of. And that is not true, is it?
Well, that's a good question, but Social Security Fund, when they say that they are borrowing from Social Security, what that means is the Social Security Fund has bought bonds, just like Silicon Valley Bank did. So they are owed the money back on those bonds, and they can cash in those bonds. And technically, the Federal Reserve can step up and pay if nobody else will, and just create the money, which is what is likely to happen. I mean, that would be another case of the government actually defaulting on the bonds. But as long as they don't default, then those bonds will get paid. I mean, those debts will get paid. So all banks and all shadow banks, et cetera, they all put their money somewhere, and that is the problem. That was the problem with Silicon Valley Bank. They had all these deposits from small startup businesses that were largely venture capital-backed, and they didn't really need loans. So what the bank did with all these deposits that came flooding in was they bought treasuries, government debt, which was supposed to be zero risk weighted, according to the Bank for International Settlement. So it was supposed to be a totally safe bet, which it is if you hold the thing until the bond is due. Like, because interest rates were so low at that time, they were 0.25%, so the bank could borrow very cheaply, but it couldn't really make very much money. I mean, if they bought the short-term treasuries, they would make almost nothing. And so they bought the 10-year treasuries, the long-term treasuries. But now you can't sell the 10-year treasuries because there are other new 10-year treasuries out there at a much higher interest rate, at like close to 5%. So people don't want the old ones. So if they had to sell all their long-term treasuries that they were holding on their books that they could sell, they would take a 30% loss, which is what they did do. They sold the ones they could, but they also had a number of treasuries that were marked hold to maturity, which meant they couldn't be sold for 10 years. So that was the catch-22 they were in. They actually did what they were told to do, which was buy treasuries. And it wasn't just Silicon Valley Bank. There were many banks across the country that did that. There was a study from the Hoover Institution recently that found that 2,300 banks, or more than half of them, were in that position, that if they got hit with the kind of run that hit Silicon Valley Bank, they would also be bankrupt. They wouldn't be able to meet the demand for withdrawals. So what I've written about and what to me is most interesting is why were these particular banks hit with those runs? In the case of Silicon Valley Bank, 80% in the course of 2 days, 80% of their depositors either pulled their money out or tried to pull their money out. Well, no bank could withstand that. I mean, for decades, the standard has been that you're supposed to keep 10% of your reserves liquid money. It's keep 10% in reserves, meaning that if there was a demand for withdrawals, you would have that money to meet them. And normally that would be fine because, you know, that's just a normal course of business. Most people leave their money in the bank. But in this case, even if you got hit with 20% withdrawals, you would not have enough money to meet all the demand, and in this case it was 80%. I mean, it was huge. So it was short sellers that really triggered the run. And what triggered the short sellers? Originally, I don't know if you want this whole history, but anyway, Silvergate Bank was the first to go down. I think it went down on March 8th, and it put itself in. It intentionally closed its doors because there was a huge run on Silvergate Bank, which was the bank of FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried. So people knew that they were in trouble, and the short sellers just went after them. You know, short sellers are where speculators can borrow the stock of people that probably don't even know they're lending it, sell it, drive down the price, and then buy it back at the lower price. So to me, short selling itself should be banned, but of course that's very controversial. But it's fraudulent. It's a fraud on the real owners of the stock. They do sign something technically, like when you take out your margin account or whatever, you check that little box that says you have read and you understood what you're agreeing to. Of course, nobody reads it, but even if you did read it, you probably wouldn't know what you were reading, that there's this fine print in there that says that the broker can lend your stock for purposes of sale. Well, you don't want to sell that stock. You don't want that stock to go down. You want it to go up. So if many people come in and short sell the stock, it's going to go down. If it's a coordinated attack, like it could be one person, like George Soros brought down the UK pound, like virtually single-handedly because he had enough money to do it. But you could also have just many short sellers. It could be a coordinated attack, like maybe across, social media. There could be, let's go for this, let's attack this one, let's attack that one. But it could just be something in the news, like everybody can see that Silvergate was going to be a weak bank. Or that, you know, that it was kind of shark bait sitting out there, and all the sharks went after it because clearly the government was after it. There was a government attempt to just, it was just a war on crypto where they said that it was going to be very difficult for banks to deal with crypto businesses, that they were going to have to jump through a lot of hoops, a lot of regulation. I mean, they didn't ban it outright, but they made it so difficult to be a crypto bank. So the three banks that went down, actually four banks that went down, were either crypto banks or crypto friendly, at least, where it was possible if you were a crypto business or if you wanted to turn your cryptocurrencies into, or you wanted to turn your dollars into cryptocurrencies, you could go through these banks and do it. So that was, first it was Silvergate, then Silicon Valley Bank, which was the one that really triggered all the runs, and Signature, which was put into receivership by the FDIC on March 12th, which was a Sunday, very unusual. Usually they do this on Friday, and it wasn't even insolvent, and they just did it because it was or apparently they targeted it because it was another of the crypto banks. It was quite solvent, and it wasn't given a chance to save itself like the others, like First Republic later was given a lot of time to try to find a buyer you know, the Fed set up this facility where the banks could take their unrealized losses and post them as collateral for a loan up to a year. But none of that had happened when they put Signature Bank into receivership. So anyway, it all looks very corrupt and targeted. Well, and hopefully that's not going to happen again, because we have many banks out there that could be attacked, but there's no coordinated attack, and therefore it's not happening.
Well, you said 2,300 banks are very close to playing that kind of a game, where if we all knew what those 2,300 banks were, that might put those banks at risk. What sounds to me like, and this is a thing, we had some controversy earlier in my days here when we were talking about the FDIC and what they would insure and what they wouldn't. And it looks like the federal government wants to insure or increase the amount of insurance on each one of these things. But the comment I made was, my understanding is that they could pay you a dollar a year if that's all the money that they had to go out, given the amount of money that's in all these accounts. And if they get wiped out, I mean, we've got banking crisis 3.0 here. And this is one of the reasons why you've been pushing the public banks. And I'll let you comment on that in a second. Dave in New York, you're on the phone with Ellen Brown. Go.
Hi, Ellen. I'll be quick. I remember a long time ago that they privatized their gains and socialized their losses. And that came clear when the United States bailed out the Mexican banking system, which made no sense to me at the time, but it covers so many things now where they do privatize their gains and socialize their losses. And I remember Cyprus had a bail-in, and we've sort of like been through that now, and now come the hard times after that. Now, I might sound all over the place, but just consider some of those things I just said. Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it, Dave. Thank you.
Well,
banking crisis 3.0. Here, what do you say, Alan?
Yeah, well, I totally agree. That's what those first two big banks, Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank, the Federal Reserve and the FDIC agreed to cover all the deposits, return all the depositors' money, not just the ones that were under $250,000. And then you've got all these cries of, well, they're nationalizing the banks, they're privatizing the gains, socializing the losses. We the people, of course, will wind up paying if the cap is raised. I mean, I think they should raise the cap, and because it's just kind of old. $250,000 is not a very high cap for a business. Most of those uninsured depositors in Silicon Valley Bank were small startup businesses that kept more than $250,000 in their account because they needed it to pay payroll and suppliers. I mean, that's the kind of account they had. It was this active account that they paid stuff out of. So, you know, they could raise it to maybe $500,000. That sounds reasonable. And technically, it's the banks that pay the premiums, so it would just increase the premiums on the banks. But then, of course, then they're going to raise their prices, and we'll wind up paying it anyway. But also, the small banks were complaining. Well, it wasn't their fault; they didn't do anything. They weren't dealing in crypto or whatever it was that triggered the whole thing. And so, why should their premiums go up to insure these big banks? And that's certainly a good argument as well. I mean, to me, ideally, it seems to me that if we're going to socialize the losses, we should nationalize the banks. I mean, that's actually, when they go bankrupt, you know, that's actually what they did, what they used to do. Like Continental Illinois was a big bankruptcy in the 1990s, I think. And that's what they did. They took over the bank as a government entity and ran it as a government entity for 10 years. And then they finally sold it off to private interests again. But we should at least be getting the profits if we're going to be paying the losses.
You still have faith in the U.S. dollar, it sounds like. But the thing is it's a fractionalized system that I've never trusted. And it's, even if it is legal tender for all debts, public and private, it's still extrinsic. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, when you're dealing with a public bank and protection, I mean, basically the public bank is like the alternative. The rules of the game change because now we have to operate with sound fiscal policy. We can't just operate with this craziness that Congress and the administrations of past times past have been doing, right?
Yeah, well, and the advantage, among many advantages of a public bank, is that they are mandated to serve the public interest. So you can't, what's wrong with the system right now, of course, is you have these speculators that get hold of the money first when it's cheap, and then they can use it for all sorts of money-making, money sort of projects, which just means you're making money by taking money from somebody else. You're not actually building anything. You're not creating new productivity. And so a public bank would be geared toward productivity and infrastructure and all those things we actually need. Any profits would go back to the government.
So there you have it. EllenBrown.com is the website, or you can go to publicbankinginstitute.org. Ellen Brown, thank you so much for joining us. It's never enough time to cover everything we want to cover. We'll have you back again soon, as we always do. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless what's left of the United States of America. Have a productive day. Go start your own business. Really, there's ways of saving money. You can do this. It all starts at home. See you tomorrow.
Harmful organisms are everywhere, affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrex is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrex can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829. Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829 or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products. And he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs. And my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.